I'm sure if you have read through 1 Samuel yourself or studied it anywhere closely, you will be aware that now in chapter 23, we find David in what was one of the deepest and darkest valleys of his entire life as a Christian, as he sought to follow after the Lord. It seems to him that one thing after another, there's just problems, and everything almost is falling in around him. And sometimes we feel like that as Christians too, and therefore it's very good for us to look at a passage like this. Now, in this particular experience of David's, what is called the ephod was really the hinge of the whole situation and what would happen here. The word ephod, or the title ephod, it means covering. The ephod was an apron or a vest that was worn by the high priest. We know that there are instances when it was worn by assistant priests as well, and others too, but initially and primarily it was worn by the high priest when he ministered at the altar. You can read about that in the book of Exodus and chapter 28. The ephod itself was something which was very symbolic of Christ and pointed to him. It was made of fine linen that was interwoven with gold and blue and purple and scarlet threads. And on the shoulder there were precious stones on which the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were engraved. Now, the breastplate was attached to the ephod, and there was also associated with it what were called the Urim and Thummim. And I don't know if you've thought much about them in the Bible, as you read about them in the Bible or not, but the word Urim means light, and the word Thummim means perfection, referring together to perfect light. And it's believed by some that they were kept in the pouch of this ephod, this apron that was worn over and covered other garments. Now, there are all sorts of outlandish claims regarding what exactly happened with the Urim and Thummim. And we're not going to use your time this morning speaking about them. But suffice to say that this Urim and Thummim was something that God used to show his will to men and women. We know that in the old days, way back in the Old Testament, God guided his people by prophets sometimes. Sometimes by dreams, by direct revelation he spoke. And also by the Urim and Thummim. And as we look at this morning, I want us all to remember that we do not need anything like this today. That he guides his people still, that's for sure. And don't forget that. He does guide his people, but he guides us by his Spirit and by his word and by prayer. So you think here of this ephod that is symbolic of Christ. It has there undoubtedly the Urim and Thummim. And if I can put it very simply to you, the finding out the Lord's will was almost like today, if you flick a coin, heads or tails. And it was, that was the way that God guided. We know that. We read about the casting of lots and so on. And sometimes as Christians we think, well, what's this all about? We don't do that. That was how the Lord guided in those days. And with these two stones, he guided and his will would be shown. Of course, again, if I can just remind you of the ephod, the linen is associated with purity. The scarlet, reminding us of the shed atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The purple being the colour of royalty, showing us his royalty, and gold being the colour of deity, reminding us that he truly is God. Now David, on this occasion, he desperately needed a word from the Lord. So he sent for the ephod. Now, he says there in verse 9, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. He desperately needed the presence of the Lord and the particular direction of the Lord. It was a time of great uncertainty, a time when you didn't have to go far. Everywhere he looked, there was the seed of wickedness and also the result of very many evil deeds. There was suspicion on every hand. Men lived in a most reckless way all around him, and there was danger looming all the time. In other words, it wasn't very unlike today. You think of this thing that seems to have taken off in London now. I don't know why it is regarding those in mopeds that through the threw acid in the face of several people the other day who themselves were mopeds. And then just last evening, I think it was, that some men approached a man and they stabbed him to death, and they were on a moped. All around us is kind of evil that sometimes you have to pinch yourself when you see just how bad it has become. Suffice to say that David was reduced to great straits. He was reduced to great straits. And he was brought to that point where he had to look up. And folks, often the Lord brings his people to that point. Naturally, we can become complacent and think, well, things are not too bad and we just plod along. But he brought him to that point where, again, he had to look up. The people of Keilah find themselves in great despair. Their homes have been pillaged and burned, and they themselves are in need of assistance. And David does go and help them, and we know that ultimately he doesn't get any thanks for it. They betray him. But on this occasion, where we are now, we see that David is seeking for help and direction in order that he might be able to help them. And I want to look to just at this chapter. I want to look at the ephod making a difference. That really is the title. The ephod made a difference. And when you think of the ephod, what you really need to think of is direction from the Lord. Direction from the Lord. And I want to say first of all here that we, as we look at this chapter, we have David's expectation. If you look there in verse 2, it says, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines?" He comes now and he is concerned. If you look at verse 4, it says there that David inquired of the Lord again. He's concerned solely with knowing and doing God's will. And that surely is a noble aim for any Christian, to be concerned with knowing and doing the Lord's will. He has really what you could call a hunger for divine guidance. Over there in the Psalm number 62, this is what it says there. And the Lord, or David says in verse 6, the Lord only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. And that is a verse that shows us that trusting in the Lord is required of us, but pouring out of our hearts is imperative. We must do that. Pour out your heart before him. And over there, again, a similar instruction in the book of Lamentations. You'll see there, I read it for you, in chapter 3, Lamentations 3, and the verse 22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not." He goes on here to speak about what the Lord is to him. It says in verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him." Implying, again, that pouring out of heart, that getting before the Lord and bringing the need before him. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." And such a state of heart, really, for us, just as it was for David, is preparation for greater blessing. Now, if you look at this chapter again, in 1 Samuel chapter 23, you see here David's advantage compared to Saul's deficiency. Saul was chasing his own importance. And if anything that he thought was good happened before the people, he said, "Oh, it was the Lord. It was the Lord did it for me." And him, he hasn't been in touch with the Lord for ages. But David's advantage here was that he was seeking the Lord. And the principle there is no different between David, the elect king, and between you and I today. Remember, in this passage, it's all about David inquiring of the Lord. We know that he had God as someone to help him, the prophet, but also he had Abiathar there at the end of, in verse 22, the previous chapter, says, "And David said unto Abiathar," and he goes on to speak to him there about the Edomites and so on. David and Abiathar were together. He is the man who had this ephod with him. And therefore David was one whose expectation was continually and consistently in the Lord. He had learned enough to know that he could not depend upon his own inclinations or even people who were around him to direct him. Now, sometimes people can give you very good advice and we need to take it and act upon it. But there's so much can be missed if we just allow our lives to be guided by our own inclination or even by what other people say. Christ is our high priest. It says over there in Hebrews chapter 4, and I trust this will encourage you today. You know the verses there, I'm sure, very well. It says there in verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, in other words, because of all of that, let us come boldly here to the throne of grace. Let us seek the Lord for his mercy and for his help. And just as David's expectation was in the Lord, in obeying the Lord, he discovered that even there was more difficulties. And one of the great non-truths of today is this, that if you seek to follow the Lord and to do his will, that somehow or other everything will always be easy, it will always be rosy, and there will never be any reason for concern, whether it is in serving the Lord in God's work, in his house, or whether it is in family life, or in work, or wherever it happens to be. This notion that if you obey the Lord, that you will not have difficulty. Sometimes, in fact, often, obeying the Lord means more difficulties. Thinking of some today who are serving on the field, and the mission field, and they are facing many difficulties because they're seeking to serve the Lord in a particular place. Difficulties for their children when it comes to social life and even to schooling and so on. But you see, their expectation is from the Lord. And out there today, the whole system of the world, the whole world system, is not the friend of the Christian. And time and again, we're driven to that point where we realize that any hope that we have, it's not in man. It's not in our own inclinations, but rather our expectation comes from him. Now, we know that later on, David was betrayed by the Ziphites. If you read down to verse 19, they thought they would find favor with Saul. It almost seems that they had forgot something. And here it was. That brings us to our second point. We'll mention them a little bit later on, these Ziphites that had turned their back upon David. We noted there, first of all, then, that David's expectation. He really had that desire. He came to the Lord in verse 2 and in verse 4. That's early on in the chapter. But notice David's priority when more difficulties came. If you look at verse 10, it says, "And David, then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake." Crisis in a land or a national situation usually affects people in a certain way. Number one, it causes panic. And number two, it can often cause change. First of all, panic, and then change. And often that change comes at great cost. David didn't want the change. He knew where he was with the Lord, and he knew that all around him there was problems with the Philistines. Behind him there was problems with Saul. But now he comes again and he seeks the Lord. Do you see what he said there in verse 9? He said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel." He wants to know. He wants to know what to do. And he used this advantageous situation that he had, this access to God. He made good use of it. And folks, again, that's something we always need to do. God has given us his word to show us and the Spirit to teach us. And he's given us the throne of grace to seek him. We need to do it. It would be unfair of me, and it wouldn't be right at all, to expect the Lord to help and to give encouragement and to do certain things if we don't make use of the advantage that he's given to us. And in this country of ours in particular, it seems he's given to us much advantage and much opportunity to make use of what he has provided for us. He's given his word to show us his throne of grace. We can seek him, place of worship to serve him, and the opportunity to reach people in great need. Remember, David here is in a context where there were people who were in despair. Their houses had been burned and they themselves were in great danger. And why I say that it seems that Saul and the others as well, they almost forgot something. They forgot that David, they forgot that David's priority in crisis was to seek the Lord. Yes, there was fear there in some degree, and sometimes he was almost overwhelmed, but he sought the Lord. He prayed from a heart of love toward God. You'll see there in verse 10 that he refers to himself as thy servant. He refers here to Jehovah God, the Lord God of Israel. He's taking a place of humility and before the Lord and bowing down before the Lord. He's showing great respect to the Lord. I often think of Nehemiah. I probably mentioned him before, but when he got before the Lord to pray regarding his homeland and the great need that there was there for the wall to be rebuilt that seemed almost impossible there, he confessed not only his own sin but the sin of his fathers, they and we. And he included himself in that. He had great respect for the Lord in prayer. And folks, as you and I would come to him with all the needs of our heart, all the needs of everyday life, and all the needs of this country, we want to do so with respect, remembering who he is and remembering what we are. But he prayed not only from a heart full of love toward God, he prayed from a listening heart. You see in verse 11, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into this his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? He now has come with a bit of anxiety to the Lord, and he prayed unselfishly. Again, you'll see there at the end of verse 10, it says, Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. For my sake. Again, this is commendable. Keilah and the people there were a big concern for him. He did not pray selfishly, but he prays with a listening heart. In other words, he's ready to do the Lord's bidding. As we mentioned earlier on, many had been slain at Nob, and David did not want to be a burden to others. But he was ready. The priority was to look to the Lord and to seek to do his will. First of all, we noted his expectation was from the Lord. He knew the Lord was able to work. And now he comes again, when trouble seems to come again and again. He comes again and he seeks the Lord here concerning the people of Keilah. And I'm reminded of Esther. If you look over there in the book of Esther, her experience. Esther chapter 4. She was one who was an unlikely deliverer of the people of Israel at that time. It says here in Esther chapter 4, remember, Mordecai was her uncle. It says here, and they told Mordecai Esther's words, then verse 12. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, if you don't do it, somebody else will do it. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Dear person today who feels yourself to be insignificant, do not look at things in that way. Do not limit the Lord to what he can do with you, who looks upon yourself in many ways maybe as just an ordinary person, because that's what Esther was doing. But look what she says then. She decides to go into the presence of the king unannounced, and she says there at the end of verse 16, if I perish, I perish. And she did it because she had a heart for others. And she lived at this time a most selfless life. And that is the way David was living as well. And David, you will note, and I just want to mention that while he was seeking to help others and put himself out and put himself into difficulties for others, he did not become an unhappy person. Some of the psalms that he penned were penned in the most difficult situations, and yet they're full of happiness and full of joy in the Lord. You will see there that he prayed with great fervency. Also, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 11, it says here, "I beseech thee, tell thy servant." The words they're referring to are really fervent seeking of the Lord and earnestness. Someone said one time that if we are earnest in asking, we can expect God to be earnest in answering. If we are earnest in asking, we can expect God to be earnest in answering. We're looking here at David's priority and all these things that were coming against him and his people and others as well. And he really wanted to help others. He prayed from a heart full of love toward God. He prayed from a heart that was a listening heart. And he prayed from a heart that was fervent. He made a point of being specific and addressing the great need that there was before him. Speaking to a friend of mine just this past week, who was away down in the Republic of Ireland, and he had heard about this mission hall, and he decided to go there. There's a meeting on there in the evening time, just to go there for somewhere to worship. And he went along in the evening time and had great fellowship with the people there. And they told him their story, how there had been very few of them, and still were not a big lot of them, but how they didn't know what they were going to do, and they really earnestly sought the Lord. And the Lord burdened a man who was well past retiring age to come along and speak at the meetings. He still does that. And they're still earnestly seeking the Lord, because from they began to do that, they set themselves to prayer, and they got this man. He's coming along now to speak at their meetings for them. Since that time, a good number of people have been converted, especially Roman Catholics. And there's actually one young lady there that evening in the mission hall, and she was giving her testimony. Had a long way to go, needed teaching and help and all, but the root of the matter was in her. She was converted because they had earnestly asked the Lord, and he was earnest in answering. And so it is for us all, men and women. He prayed with wisdom. You will notice that there if you look at verses 10 and 11, put them together. He asked about Saul's intentions regarding King Elah. And it's always good to seek the mind of the Lord regarding that which is opposed to his truth. We don't want to be oblivious to what is going on around us. He wanted to know what he was dealing with. And the answer showed him that he would be betrayed. Now you'll notice there that the people of Keilah, if you take time to read on down through the chapter there, and the Ziphims and so on, they betrayed him because they thought, this will get us in with Saul. He's the king. We'll be on his side, and they think this is great that we're able to turn our back on David. Typical treachery. In fact, if you take a moment with me and you look at Psalm number 54, this is a psalm that we believe was penned at that time. It says in Psalm 54, "To the chief musician upon Neginoth, Maskal, a psalm of David, when the Ziphims," that is the ones that we're reading about there in 1 Samuel chapter 23, you can read about them, "when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us?" In other words, it sold him out. And here's what he pens in the psalm. I want to give a brief look at this Psalm 54. You see there, David seeks help. That brings us right back to the beginning again, his priority. "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth." And folks, that's all you can do regarding that loved one that causes you great concern, regarding that difficult situation as you seek to serve the Lord in your work. All the best thing you can do, and priority, at the top of the priority list would be seek help. Look again at verse 3. It says, "For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek my soul. They have not set God before them." In other words, Lord, remember those that I'm dealing with. And they're not only my enemies, but they're your enemies too. Could you remind the Lord that he's on our side? Oh, his people are on his side, but he's on our side as well. In verse 4, it says, "God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." In other words, he's remembering the Lord's faithfulness. Folks, you can look back to times when you proved the Lord to be faithful. The Christian church can look way back And even in the darkest times in the United Kingdom, the Lord has been faithful to his people. He still is. I'll just mention once again that group of people away down in the south, in their little mission hall there where they meet, and they have that elderly man comes along and he brings a word to them at night, and they're proving the Lord's faithfulness. And that's what David did. You see also here that he actually acknowledges that the battle is the Lord's. Verse 5, he shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. What is your answer to all the wickedness around you and all the apostasy around you and all the we know that Christians despair when there's not the faithful preaching of the word and the gospel isn't preached and men are not exhorted to repent and people really can become really, really discouraged. What is the answer there? Ask the Lord to cut them off in thy truth. There's no answer to it all like the word of God. The word is the answer. Remember, it is like the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Christians have it. Have the truth. David had the truth. And he says here, he's showing the Lord here, the battle is the Lord's. Everything that he does it from a free heart. Look at verse 6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. He never turns away from remembering the goodness of the Lord. Important to do that in these days. To remember that God loves his cause and he loves his people. And we gather here in the relative comfort with companions beside us. The Lord is here, and where his people meet, maybe there's just one family. We don't have anybody else serving him away out somewhere else. Maybe even if I can use the example again of the Republic of Ireland, maybe one of those situations where there's just two families and they come together on a Sunday to read the word and to pray together. And they're looking for somewhere within their distance where they can come and faithfully hear the word and come up against apostasy, ecumenism, and cults. But they don't remember, they don't forget the goodness of the Lord. David was in dire straits, remember. And this psalm was penned at that time. Verse 7, for he hath delivered me out of all trouble. In other words, Lord, I'm not going to limit you. I'm not going to limit you. Maybe that is one of the things that you and I can do sometimes. We can limit the Lord. You'll notice there, we're not covering all the chapter because we're going to run out of time. In verse 13, you'll see that David and his men, they went whithersoever they could go. They knew their danger was coming. The Lord had shown them that. And folks, I'm not saying that it was wrong for them to seek for safety. I'm not saying that at all. But this I am saying, that during their time of great threat and discouragement, they remembered always the goodness of the Lord. Of course, Saul again, he pipes up here and he says later on that verse 21, and Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Another hypocritical whimper from this self-seeker. That's all it was. David was the man who was going through hardship now. And you know, I was reading again just the other day about John Knox. And John Knox had to flee Scotland on several occasions. He prayed one time, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. And to this day, many people believe that the Lord basically did give him Scotland for the Lord's name. But because of Queen Mary, he was under tremendous, really big danger, and the threat was really big against him. We know that he did go in, and he rebuked her to her face. I know that did happen. And I say this respectfully, that people like Charles Haddon Spurgeon felt that because she was a sovereign, that maybe he shouldn't have done that. But I'll be honest with you, I don't have any difficulty with it at all. I think Knox was right to do that. But he fled. He fled. And other times, he just had to go and hide. But Mary said concerning him, this was his testimony, even though he had to flee at times. She testified that she feared the face of John Knox more than all the armies in England. And that was a tremendous testimony. And here was Saul. He's saying, oh, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. He, as such, at this stage, he has absolutely nothing to contribute to anything. And he's looking around him and he's trying to draw attention to himself and show himself now to be godly. He was far out of touch with the Lord. What was David's priority? David's priority was to pray. and to seek the Lord. The ephod was to be brought. He was to seek the mind of the Lord. He prayed from a heart of love. He prayed from a listening heart. He prayed from a heart that was fervent. He prayed from a heart that sought wisdom. He prayed from a heart that was selfless. He was in a good place with the Lord. Just want to note to you at this time what it says over there in the book of Hebrews. Because we're, of course, looking at this passage that we might learn, and that the young people that are growing up in such wickedness, such a wicked day, that they might learn as well. You see David here, he seemed to belong nowhere. He's all over the place. Well, it says there concerning some, in verse 38 of Hebrews 11, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Certainly David was down there when it come to wandering in the desert and hiding in the cave. And God's people sometimes, even those who are very successful in businesses or have a job, and you could say that they've moved up the ranks in that job, they are very, very conscious that there's something different between them and the world. That the world does not quite embrace them. It's because of who they are, because of who you are, that the Lord does not embrace you as it embraces sin. The world seldom, as someone said, the world seldom applauds the best people. Seldom applauds the best people. So we notice here concerning David and regarding the ephod making a difference, he was seeking the Lord's face, that David was a man whose expectation was from the Lord. In the time when crisis was there, one after the other, it seems in this chapter, continually he looked to the Lord. His priority was to pray, and with the right motives. He wasn't saying, Lord, if such and such a thing happens here, it'll be more suitable and more comfortable for me here, and that'll do. No, he sought the Lord for the Lord's will. But I just want to say here, the final point is this, that God provided very graciously for him. Look what it says in verse 16. It says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood. David was hiding in the forest at this time, and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan here, humanly speaking, was like an oasis. He had been his good friend, and now he was here to strengthen his hand in God. That was good. But here's a work that's available for everyone to strengthen his hand in God. It was not the fellowship with Jonathan that strengthened him. Now that would have encouraged him. And I'm sure he was glad of his upholding words and the words of comfort that he could bring to David and so on. But if you look there in verse 17, here's what strengthened him. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next to thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. What's he really doing here? He's reaffirming God's promise to David. That's how he's strengthening his hand in God. He's reaffirming God's promise to him. As I said, we do not despise human friendship. It has helped us so much. And I'm sure every Christian here can say that. Jonathan's presence would have been a great encouragement to him. But nothing. Nothing. And folks, when you, younger people, older, we need to remember this, that nothing has the abiding encouragement that God's sure word has. It is solid encouragement. Solid encouragement from God to God's people is found in his word. Now, many in Keilah, we mentioned them, we mentioned the Ziphites, they proved themselves to be flaky, to be spineless, and to be completely self-centered. But not so with David. He had a great concern for other people, and he wouldn't let their actions affect the way that he lived. He sought to honor the Lord. And the Lord provided this word from Jonathan and strengthened his hand in God. And then he reminds him of what God had promised to him. You know, it's good to remind ourselves of the promises of God. Good to remember that his word shall not return void. Good to remember that he still uses the preaching of the gospel to save them that believe. Or what's referred to as the foolishness of preaching. Foolishness maybe in the eyes of the world. He still uses his word to edify his people, to lead us on, to encourage us, to strengthen us. And now he has provided in a most gracious way at this time for David. How important it was then that he shot him continually. How important it was that he sent for the ephod. He wanted to know. And folks, serving the Lord in whatever way you do, we cannot put out a list of what we want it to be and just say that, well, this ticks all the boxes. If we leave ourselves open to his will, he will guide us. And he will provide this uplifting for us that Jonathan provided for David. He will provide it for us in his word. And how important it is, again, I say, that his people seek his face continually. At the very end of that chapter, you will see there that just when David thought it was over, verse 27, but there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Verse 29, and David went up from thence and dwelt in the stronghold of En-Gedi. Now I want to say this, that Saul was not, we haven't seen the end of him. But for this occasion, the Lord has dealt with him. The Lord has intervened in the situation. And the Lord has come along. And he's moved in a way that has turned the situation right around. And that's what we're praying for in Northern Ireland. We have a great high priest. One we can seek. And he's not like the frail, feeble high priests of David's day and generation. But we have one who lives eternally. In the power of an endless life. One who's concerned with those things that you're troubled about right now. Even regarding walking with the Lord and serving him. And he's able to hear. Our expectation is from him. We must continually go to him with all the needs that there are, remembering that he is able to provide. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. As I said, Saul hasn't gone for good. But as I heard a minister preaching fairly recently, the devil never lets up, does he? It's always something. Maybe you get away for a week or two or three and you think that things are... And then there's something else comes along to disturb you or to upset you or to challenge you. Remember this, that the Lord is able to turn your situation right around. I trust each of us will be encouraged to seek him continually, to place great value on knowing his will and to seek to do his will for the benefit of ourselves and our families and for those around us as well.